1290. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 99 years. And today is a momentous occasion. Today is the last day of AHA Presents About Education. Now, before I get into AHA and one of the many reasons why I love AHA, we're not done. Next week, we begin with CSUCI Presents About Education. But today is unfortunately the last day for AHA Presents. And we are just talking, it's been 7 years of great collaboration. And we have today with us Molly Green, who's Director of Development, Melissa Lowenstein, who's Director of Programs, and Miguel Rodriguez, a facilitator and also a graduate of AHA. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it seems like almost yesterday that Jennifer Freed and Rendy Beryl and I, my wife, were having drinks at a restaurant that no longer exists 21 years ago, and it was 2 months after Columbine, and they said, we had just moved here, and we just met them, and they said, we're thinking about doing something about Columbine. These teens really have incredible angst. They get bullied. We need to do something, and we're thinking of starting a group, and that was 21 years ago. It's amazing where it's come from.
Yes, we have grown quite a bit over 21 years. It started as a very small summer program with a handful of teens, and it has grown to the point to where now we are in almost all of the local high schools, all of the local junior high schools, and are thriving after school and summer programs.
It's amazing. When I first started doing the show, and I would say to people, and we typically have guests not only involved in education, but involved in some form or another with helping young people. And I would say, have you ever heard of AHA? And they would say no. And then eventually a year or two would go by and they said yes. And then finally they were saying almost universally, oh, we work with them. Well, my kid went there.
Right.
So it's amazing. You can just see from the response that I'm getting that people are accepting AHA as, you know, part of the most important fabric of our community in terms of making teens able to get through a very difficult period. You got through a very difficult period, Miguel. You're still a teen, though.
Yeah, I think going through it was a really big experience. I think it's really life-changing. I can say that for a matter of fact. It's helped me become more confident in myself, be more reliant on the people around me, and just take advantage of the resources that I have, and just looking out for myself at the same time, and just being able to work with them now is just a really big joy. And I think if without them right now, I'd be lost for a little bit, I would say. But it's been a really, really great experience.
Well, being lost is part of being a teen.
Yeah, I can say that. I was lost for a bit before I started, and when I started, I think it's guided me on the right path of I would say success, and not only like in the terms of like monetary or anything like that, but success in myself, seeing the different things, the different paths that I achieved, and all the things that I did, and reflecting on that kind of stuff was really a big gift that they gave them to me. So
you just graduated?
I graduated last year
from
Santa Barbara High School.
And so are you planning on working as a facilitator until you go to college, or you're not planning on college right now?
I'm actually in college right now. I go to Santa Barbara City College. I'm majoring in psychology. I want to become a therapist myself. Hopefully open my own practice, serving the community in whatever means that means.
Well, I had a similar experience. I went to an event years ago in New York that was a celebratory event for about 100 psychiatrists and psychologists, and everyone was a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And I was in the corner and talking to somebody, and someone walked over and said, are you in the business too? And I said, yes, I am. And, well, what do you practice? I said, I'm a patient. So I'm not. I'm on the other side of the couch. So Melissa, I remember you when you first joined, and now you've taken over.
That's right. They call me Programs Overlord. That's my nickname.
And they have incredible fear from you, right?
Oh, I'm so scary, right?
It's the whip that she keeps next
very
to her
scary.
Desk.
Yes, I actually want to. I want to go back to the last thing you said, Neil, about. Your role in supporting psychiatry and psychotherapy. Not, I don't know about psychiatry, but psychotherapy. You do participate as a healer by supporting AHA. Because what we do is all about prevention. It's all about creating a kind of community for young people. And, you know, the adults who work for AHA can vouch for how much being part of AHA promotes and supports our mental wellness and our sense of being supported in a community that we can trust. The whole idea behind it is to catch people before they fall through the net and before they need serious help, to give them support and to just provide guidance, like Miguel was talking about, the whole idea of being lost. And there's a really big difference between being lost and not trusting that you're going to find your way out, and being lost and trusting that you have supportive others who are going to help you find your way out even when you can't do it for yourself.
And what I think everyone realizes is that being a teen is difficult in any period. But mm-hmm. today, with cyberbullying, with the current political environment, with ISIS, there are so many things that add to what would ordinarily be a challenging period in people's lives. So if there were ever a time when teens need help, this is certainly it. And, you know, one of the things that I would like to encourage, as I have done in the past, is people who are not familiar with AHA is to make arrangements to come to one of the afternoon programs, because it is miraculous what goes on. I was lucky enough to go to several over a period of years, and one of the participants was a really nice young man who, for whatever reason, wouldn't speak. And I kind of lost track of him. And then I went to the AHA's signature event, Singing Out, and he got up there, and I couldn't believe it. He didn't sing, but he spoke a tune, and it was just unbelievable that he was able in 2 years to go from a non-speaker to somebody that would get up in front of 350 people at a theater and speak a song. So there is so much evidence that supports the notion that if you give these kids some love and some attention and give them the opportunity to feel that they're part of a community, that they can really get through with this very difficult period. And to that note, as director of programs, are you constantly developing new programs?
Yes. This was a big year because we launched educator trainings for over 400 educators in Santa Barbara and Carpinteria districts. We've done educator trainings before, and this is the first year we've done them at this scale. So that was actually has been an amazing experience in collaboration with the school districts. And then we are always refining and developing our curricula, because things change faster and faster, even in the lives of young people and just the world in general. It really is a lot to stay on top of what is most needed, and we're always asking that question, are we providing what these kids need the most?
And isn't that important also for the facilitators, that is, to change up things? Because the facilitators are doing this day in and the same thing and over and over again. I would imagine to re-energize the professionals is an important part of what it would be to be director of programs.
That's true, and there's always more to learn. I mean, we all try to walk our socially, emotionally intelligent talk. I'm doing air quotes for those of you who are just listening. What's true is that there's no end to the amount of development one can do for oneself, and that development informs the way that we work with the kids, for sure.
We also want to mix things up a little bit because we have teens that are in our program, like Miguel was 5 years in our program. So we have to keep it alive for them so that they're not doing the same activities and the same lessons year after year.
And the idea behind, not the idea behind, one of the ideas behind the afternoon program is to have fun and to have fun in a community of people where no one's going to question who you are or what you are. Mm-hmm. And in order to have fun, sometimes you really do have to change things up because that's why people end up getting divorced after 15 years.
Well, and every group has a different makeup. You know, every time you have a different combination of human beings in the room, that also creates a whole different experience.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Molly Green, Development Director, Melissa Lowenstein, Director of Programs, and Miguel Rodriguez, a facilitator. And I just want to clarify that while the name is changing to CSUCI Presents About Education, I will still be here as the host and moderator. So we were talking about AHA's various programs, and you know, one of the things that has really made an impact is Peace Builders, and that's been around for a couple of years. And for those of us who don't know what Peace Builders is, can someone describe it?
Yeah, so Peace Builders, what we do in there, well, so we go in schools to primarily high schools and junior highs. We start teaching them how to become leaders and show up as leaders in their community, diversify and implement diversity into their lives, and just show them the skills of confidence, the skills of public speaking, and just the skills of being comfortable in their own body and showing up in their community in various ways.
Okay, that's what you accomplish. But what explain to us how it works. You know, what is the procedures. How does peace, you know, you sit in a circle. I mean, describe the thing.
Yeah. So we begin every day by just introducing the topic of discussion. So, for example, today we had our empathy day, which revolved about empathy. And we give a little brief introduction of what that is and what that looks like. And then we go into playing an activity. But first, before that, we do mindfulness. So just grounding the teens and getting them into their own state and just being present in the moment. And then we go into an activity that's usually revolves around that specific topic. Like today, we did an emotional activity that showcases like different ways that people express emotions and stuff like that. After that, we do a little debrief of like to make sure that the teens understand what we did and what was going on in that activity. And after that, we do connection circles, which is basically just a little little circles that we have with different facilitators, and we have questions that revolved around the topic of the day. Today was about sharing their being vulnerable and just sharing the things that the challenges that have they've gone through in their life. And then we mixed around and we passed around different pieces of paper that had different stories on there. And it was just a way for them to really the questions that said explain how you would feel in this situation and how you would react. And it was really touching because I think a lot of teens we don't recognize teens as like knowing these skills, but a lot of these teens are really skillful in knowing that kind of stuff. And it was just amazing to go around and see that they're building empathy every single day. And the things that we do are working. So it's really...
That's a question I always ask any guests that deal with psychology. And that is, can you build empathy when someone doesn't have it? Is that any... lack of empathy, is that an incurable disease? And I'm not talking about any politician in particular.
Well, Neil.
I mean, well, somebody just question. Doesn't, someone just not a psych, not mentally ill, just doesn't like people, just has no feelings for other people. Can you, because maybe they didn't have it at home, is there a mm-hmm. way to build empathy in a person?
There is, and there has to be a willingness on the part of that person to maybe notice where they have a blind spot, where they... It's just like anything. If you're born blind, you don't know what the world looks like to somebody with eyes. So to try to impart that experience to somebody who, A, has never had it, and who, B, is not willing to look at themselves really deeply, probably not. But what's also true is that culturally right now, I think we're in a period where empathy is kind of at a low ebb, just in general. It's not culturally... celebrated, even though in some circles, you know, Santa Barbara, we talk about empathy more than we do in a lot of other places. But to normalize that, actually, when somebody's having a hard time, all you need to do is say, I see you having a hard time and I'm here, and to just be there for that person, that's all that empathy requires, a willingness to do that. And it's not hard in theory, but in practice, to have a space where we just create, okay, this is what we're doing today. We are sitting with each other. And we are going to try out this empathy thing. That, to me, is the only way that works. And the people who are there, they have to be willing to be there.
And it's so important now because tribalism has essentially taken over this country. And it's been exacerbated by the political speak. And it's almost as if in order to be successful in politics, you have to just squeeze out any empathy that's left mm-hmm. so that people will only focus on their own tribe. So... this is not just an academic question about how to make somebody nicer. It's in order to bring this country back together again, someone's going to have to figure out a way on a very broad basis to make people understand that other people matter. And, you know, we're doing it here. And that brings me to the next question, which is, and you mentioned it before, that you were teaching the teachers. And, you know, one of the things that AHA has begun to do, which could have a real lasting impact, is not just to bring it to Santa Barbara, but also to go around and make people aware of best practices in this area so that they can do whatever they, you can help them do the right thing by their community. Everyone's looking at me.
I'm wondering what the question is.
It was a softball opportunity for you to say, good point, Neil. Let me tell you what we're doing.
Neil, that's a great point.
Thank you. And a great point, even better than a good point.
I'll tell you one thing that we're noticing when in our teacher trainings is that teachers are hungry for the same sort of connection that the youth are hungry for. So Melissa and I happen to be in the same cohort training a group of teachers in Carpinteria. And from day one, they were so excited to have an opportunity to sit with one another and to listen to one another. And I remember one teacher saying, you know, I see you on the hall all the time and we wave, but I've never been able to have a conversation with you. So we give them a safe space to really connect with one another, to listen deeply to what's going on in one another's lives. And that's the place to, where you can start building empathy, is to really hear one another's stories.
Just one last question about peace builders. What is the mechanism where you can take peace builders and make it, for one person, it goes to 10 or 15 people? How does that work? Am I talking about
something? Oh, the connection circles.
Connection circle.
Yeah.
So the numbers are pretty, I remember from a couple of years ago, they're pretty astounding. That is, you sit around in a circle, and then what happens? How do you get out that message?
The number that we can reach?
Right, yeah.
Well, what we do is we train our peace builder youth to lead connection circles. And then we say, go out into the world, young person, and lead as many of these circles as you can. And that is what can really expand the reach. And they learn about really good questions to ask. You know, in a connection circle, typically you do a check-in where, you know, who in their normal day gets to turn to somebody and say, hey, what's your thorn and rose today? Here's mine. Like, what's going good for you? What's not going good? So we do that, and then we will have questions depending on how well the people know each other. One really great one that we love is tell me something I wouldn't know about you by looking at you, to increase social awareness and empathy. And then there are, you know, as many questions as there are people who will ever do connection circles. But the point is we train them in meaningful question asking, deep listening, one person at a time sharing, and then we hopefully get them out into the world to do lots of this with lots of other people.
You know, my wife and I do thorns and roses whenever my grandchildren visit. And mm-hmm. we make them. We do it every time they sit down to dinner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes people say, I don't have any, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But it permits or provides an opportunity for people to feel that this is a safe place to express how their emotions are. And it makes it possible to begin to read other people because you know where they're coming from. And it was difficult in the beginning, you know, and it was all a big joke. You know, you would say, you know, my thorn is that, you know, I didn't get, my coffee wasn't hot. But eventually you begin to realize that you should take it seriously. And so it's an activity. So basically what it is you ask someone in the beginning of a meeting, tell us what good happened today and tell us what bad happened today or what, it's really helpful, not only as an icebreaker, but sort of getting people's emotions out there.
Well, and also that I see you and I welcome you and I accept you, even though you have good stuff going on and bad stuff going on. Like, they're of equal value to me to know the full range of what's up with you in your life right now. So you don't have to show up happy, joyful, nothing's wrong with me, everything's fine all the time. I get to hear a little bit of what's at your edge right now.
So when I moved to California, my New York friend said, you're going to end up eating lettuce. I mean, this is not a good idea. So all I can tell you now is that I'm talking about empathy. I'm talking about thorns and roses. I started meditating. I really kind of never can go back to New York now.
You can bring these skills to New York.
No, they won't accept it. No, they won't accept it. But on that note, you're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Chrysella. We're here today with Molly Green, Development Director of AHA, Melissa Lowenstein, Director of Programs from AHA, and Miguel Rodriguez, a facilitator and a graduate of the program. So, it's great that you're a graduate of the program, but you have a whole program about graduating people from the program, having them come back. Tell us about that.
About 4 years ago, we realized that we had certain teens that were graduating from high school, going on to college, and we missed them so much, and they were such an asset to the program, and we decided to start hiring them. So we now have 6 alumni facilitators on staff. All of them are college students, either at Santa Barbara City College or UCSB, and they are phenomenal. They were all in the program for 5 years, so then they know the work they do. They live the work they do. They're so close in age to the teens that we work with, so they connect with them beautifully, and they give us older folks some great feedback in terms of what's working and what's not working.
Yeah, I remember back a number of years ago, I don't know if you still have, a young board member who is either a facilitator or actually part of the program as a board member.
We did.
Leandra?
Yeah. Leandra.
Yeah.
Which was helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, so everyone, all the adults would be talking about something, and then we turn to her and say, what do you think? Does that make any sense?
So the
program that I think is, even though it doesn't handle the most kids, is for me the most vibrant, which is the afternoon program. So tell us about that. It's just so interesting how you are able to put a bunch of kids together, have them show up, and then really get things done over a period of time. So tell us about what the goal of that program is. Don't jump in. This is by the way, this is radio, so you just can't keep pointing at each other.
Okay,
I'm talking.
I'm pointing to Molly and Miguel because they're both actively facilitating in after school programs right now, and I'm not. So I wanted to defer to that.
Okay, so I'll start, and then Miguel, you can pick up. We have 8 after school groups a week, and each group serves anywhere between 8 and in our ally group with. Which Miguel and I both facilitate, we have 25 students. And it's true that sometimes teens are a little bit hesitant to start. However, once they are enrolled, they tend to love it. They tend to bring their friends with them, and they meet and develop some pretty extraordinary friendships with people that they would never have said hello to otherwise. So we have a wide... pretty diverse group of teens. There are some introverts, extroverts from all the different local high schools, and they bond together beautifully.
And one of the things that I noticed is I was doing this thing for a few years about financial literacy, mm-hmm. and coming back each year with the same kids, you could just see the way things have
positively developed. You could just watch the kids and say, wow, that was the kid that was sitting under the chair. Seriously. And
right.
Now they're on top of the chair where they belong. Mm-hmm. So what is your take on this?
So being part of being a teen and part of the programs, I think it was just going into it with, like, of course, the incentive was money at first, and then, like, the pushing. But overall, what I thought was really great was just the bonds that we created and how the facilitators, back when I was there, they treated you like a regular human being, no matter your age or where you come from. I think that was the special part. And then what kept me coming back was just the fun, the laughter, and also a mix of seriousness when the time comes, and just knowing that the whole group is there to support you and help you through to your hardest times, I would say. And the teens, I think, really, really value that.
So I had this question from the very beginning, but, and I think I know the answer, but let me put it on the table. I'm a teen. I have some issues like all teens do. And I go to your program, and I learn about restorative justice, and I learn about empathy, and I learn about listening to other people. And then I go to Santa Barbara High, and somebody knocks the books out of my hand. How do you deal with the reality of the world versus the positive cocoon of AHA? I mean, is there sort of a friction between those two?
I would say definitely there's a big old different culture in AHA than there is in the real world, because it's really different. And when you really try to implement the things that you learn in AHA into the real world, it's hard because people are so opposed to it and just so weirded out by it. But I think persisting is like the big key. And once you come to those situations that you're put in, you can't, you stand for a second like frozen thinking like, oh, what did I do? Like, oh, I was in AHA, I learned this. So I think for me, I think I actually put those things into place and kind of went into the real world with this mentality of like, okay, I went to AHA, I went through the whole thing. Now I want to use it in the real life. And I think it's really, really, it was really hard at first, but I think keeping at it is really important, and it's definitely difficult the first few times. Yeah.
One of the things that we do with almost every kid that comes through AHA is we talk about emotion management. So we talk about what happens when you get overwhelmed with a big emotion. You actually lose contact with the part of your brain that can think things through, and you react, and you do fight, flight, freeze, and then you do something you regret or say something you regret. And learning that, let's say you do have your books knocked out of your arms by a kid at school, then you get to go back to, okay, wait, actually, I don't have to react to that. I'm really upset, but that doesn't mean I have to do anything. It's actually time to pause. So in these tiny ways, it empowers the teens to respond to things differently, even if they can't change others. As Miguel's nodding, yes. So that's kind of what we're going for in those after-school groups.
And I also want to say that doing check-ins in every after-school group that we do lets them see that it's, you can't tell what's going on in another person's life by just looking at them. So if you pass somebody in the hallway and they don't look at you, you think, oh my God, you know, what's wrong with them? They're so stuck up. And when we do our weekly check-ins, you get to learn that people are suffering, and that by just looking at them, you have no idea what's happening on their daily lives.
I learned that lesson in the eighth grade. There was two girls in my, I went to school that was, believe it or not, it was 1 through 8. They didn't have junior highs. And I was in the eighth grade, and it was, I don't know if they do this anymore, I'm sure they don't, but everyone had a signature book where you went around and mm-hmm. you asked everyone to sign your book. And there were these two girls that I always looked up. I had a small class, like 40 kids, but there were two that were really popular. And I went through 0 to 8th grade, and I never talked to them because they mm-hmm. were so popular. And so I was getting my book signed, and I saw them, and they said to me for the first time ever, can we sign your book? So I said, yeah, can I sign yours? And they said, you know what? We always wanted to be friends with you. You know, you're just kind of quiet. We would love to. And I could not believe it. Mm-hmm. I thought they were being snobby for 8 years mm-hmm. because, and I just never forgot that. And it taught me not a lesson about how dumb I was, but also about how you cannot read somebody else. You don't know what they're thinking. And so it's tough enough to know what you're thinking. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Molly Green, Development Director of AHA, Melissa Lowenstein, Director of Programs at AHA, and Miguel Rodriguez, a facilitator and a former or a graduate of the AHA program. And one of the misconceptions about AHA, particularly the afternoon program, is that it's for troubled teens or it's for poor kids, and it's not true. It's pretty much a cross-section of everyone.
There is not a single teenager who wouldn't benefit from the kinds of skills that kids learn in our groups. And the connections, like my daughter, who is now, she's also an alumni facilitator. She's about to turn 20. Oh, my God. And her experience, especially in Sing It Out, she came home after the second day or something, and she said, "Mom, I have never felt more close or more seen than I feel in this group." And she's always had friends. She's always, you know, she's always been like kind of a popular kid. But the relationships that she built in those groups were really different and much deeper and more meaningful, I think, for her.
Is she going to be in this year's? Where she
no,
did it?
No, she's, well, she's a facilitator now. She's at City College, finishing up her second year. But she was in Sing It Out the year after Miguel and I were. Yeah.
I remember I told Melissa when she walked in, I remember Melissa's the best dancer in AHA.
She's, that's
so
true.
There's a jury still out on her program directoring, but not on her dancing.
She's the best.
As long as I'm a good dancer,
that's all that counts.
That's all I need.
There's a whole thing about stigma. We had on about 2 months ago the it's a group suicide prevention for kids or teens, and one of the things that they try and do is to make people not afraid to talk about it. And they go to the high schools and they talk about normalizing it, and it's not ratting on your friend if you're aware that there's some problem. And one of the things they said, besides all of that, is that it seems that the teachers in the schools are getting every issue that used to be the community, whether it's suicide, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's bullying, everything goes to the teachers. So one of the things that AHA does is it not only takes pressure off the teachers, it gives the teachers skills to deal with these issues. Mm-hmm. So let's take suicide as an example. There is a problem with suicide, and there's a problem with drugs. Are you geared up to deal with those kinds of problems?
So one of the strengths of AHA is that we have a very low student-to-facilitator ratio, and we know that teachers have enormous class sizes. We know that in our local high schools, there is a counselor for every 500 or so students. When we go into the classrooms or in our after-school groups, we never have more than 7 youth per facilitator. So we get to know these teens really well, and we're often at the front lines of recognizing when there is a potential problem or crisis. So at our weekly staff meetings, we always talk about teens, any that we're concerned about. If there's somebody where we think that there could be a potential problem, we will check in with one another and find the staff member that is closest to them, make sure that they reach out to them, and follow up. Is there any way we can help? We offer up to 6 free counseling sessions for any teens in our program that need some extra support. Probably about half of our staff are either therapists or working towards licensure. And then a number of years ago, we developed a mental reset card that are in all of the counselor's office. We give it to all of our teens, in particular the peace builders. And it has about 10 things that you can do if you or someone you're close to is suffering.
From anything, not just suicide.
Just suicide, if they're having some emotional trauma in their lives. And they're really accessible steps that you can take. And then on the back are 24/7 hotlines that people can call.
So do you encourage schools to refer kids to you?
Yes.
And do they? Mm-hmm. So they'll say to you, this is a kid that would really benefit from this type of and do you still do the freshman seminar thing?
Right now we're only doing that in Carpinteria, at Carpinteria High School, where we've been doing it for a decade. And the principal there credits it with drastically changing the culture of the school.
Yeah, I think the first 2 years, disciplinary actions were down 75% at CARP, which is an amazing statistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People look at metrics. There's a metric that should really be taken into consideration.
Well, and that's another piece, too, in terms of suicide prevention and substance abuse prevention. I always like to talk about that analogy of, do you want to build a hospital at the bottom of the cliff, or do you want to build a fence at the top of the cliff? Right.
So what we talk about drug abuse, let's start drug abuse light. What do you do about vaping? Do kids vape?
Oh, kids vape. They don't vape when they're with us.
But do you have discussions with the kids, not just whether it's a gateway to cigarettes or whatever, but do you talk about health issues? That's not a great idea, that's not how you do things.
It's really not. We don't address that directly, other than to create a space for people to come in and say, hey, I'm doing this activity that I know is bad for me and I want to stop, or I know it's not good for me and I can't stop, to create a safe space for them to talk about what's going on. And then, that's pretty much how we... Molly, okay, do you have something?
Well, I do. We also emphasize self-care. Yeah. And take them through the steps of what it means to have good self-care, so that they're aware. So the focus is more on how to take care of yourself as opposed to what you're doing is bad for yourself. So if you are practicing good self-care, you are much less likely to do those sort of activities.
Of course, there's a sort of cliche statement around the therapeutic community. I don't know if it's true or hyperbole, but they say that teens have like 3/4 of a brain. It takes a while for it to fully develop. Mm-hmm. And so they're really not in a position necessarily to realize how dangerous this stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that's good about having these kind of programs. So you're right out of the battle. You just joined from, you were one of the kids. How big a deal today do you see is drugs and suicide? Are those just one-offs in this town, or are they really, is it really a problem we should be concerned about?
Me personally, I see I see it as a big problem, just especially in the high schools. Just because coming out of high school myself, I saw so many people just using nicotine or just using marijuana just to cope with themselves because they didn't know what any other way to do it. But I do see it as a big problem because there were teens vaping during school, during the bathroom breaks, during lunch. And teachers not really doing anything about it other than going to the office, giving them a little slap on the wrist and maybe taking their device away. And that's pretty much it. And they never talk about it again. So I think it is a big problem and it needs to be addressed. And I think also suicide, because it is it's stigmatized less today, I would say, just because now teens have the resources and they have professionals come in to talk about, especially in their health classes, to make sure that these teens are heard. And but I would say it's definitely a big problem that needs to be talked about.
And speaking of, you know, we're adults now, and you have the information because you just left there. What about bullying? How significant is bullying now in high schools?
I would say it's not as bad as because I remember freshman year, it was pretty bad, just because people were like all the time just fighting with one another. Stuff. So many fights on campus and off campus, but. Over the years past, I kept on becoming more like socially aware of what was going on, and I saw that bullying was like not really showing up in schools as much. But there were like fights every now and then, but for the most part, there were no teens berating each other every single day, no teens fighting, using hurtful words or anything like that. So I think it's pretty cool to see how it evolves every year, and teens become more, I would say, sympathetic and empathetic towards themselves.
And that's true both for racial differences and for sexual preference differences and identity issues, if the kids are more tolerant now?
Yeah, definitely. I saw a big change in my junior year just because a lot of teens were coming out and they weren't even being harassed or bullied, and they were being praised, and to the point where one of them won prom king and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was really awesome because they're breaking out of their shelves and their school is becoming more a safe place for them and where they can really be themselves. So I thought that was really awesome to see.
That's great because the press is always late in terms of what, and now they're talking about things much more robustly than they were in the past. And maybe Santa Barbara's ahead of the curve because there is, particularly with cell phone use, and particularly among girls, apparently, a lot of bullying going on, which is, I guess, harder to manage if it's done on a cyber basis.
Right. I think that's where it shows up more often these days.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online
online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Molly Green, the development director and apparently group leader of some of the groups for AHA, Melissa Lowenstein, director of programs, and Miguel Rodriguez, a facilitator. And, you know, one of the things I don't want to pass by, we'd mentioned it briefly, but one of the things that you have been a pioneer on, which I think is absolutely wonderful, which is the restorative justice program. And I know a few years ago you were trying to teach the teachers and the administrators of the schools how to do it. Is that, how's that come along?
Restorative justice in particular is the schools sent all their teachers to their own training. I don't know if all the teachers went, but they actually had outside trainers come in and work with their teachers and in just starting to teach this. It's a huge shift. So they came back, they tried to implement it in a huge sweep, and it's actually proven a lot harder to implement at the level of the district to implement restorative justice as a as an alternative to punitive discipline. So there's now it now feeling a lot more like an evolutionary process where they're continuing to work in that direction. And our support is really mostly in, we teach about relationship repair. We teach about making good choices when you're in a disagreement with somebody. So we actually boil down the restorative practices into really simple teaching points that we work with the teens and with the teachers. And we tie it into restorative approaches, but we're not specifically training the teachers in that.
I think it's so important, not just for being a teen, but even for being a married adult. really, to be able to understand the other person's point of view, and it politically as well. So the whole notion, learning about restorative types of reconciliation of disagreements, to me is really an important thing that you've been really in the forefront. So in our final minutes here, final 2 minutes here, tell us how we can support AHA.
We are really lucky to have had many years of support in the Santa Barbara community, and we're so grateful for everyone over the years that has supported our program through donations, through coming to our events. You had mentioned that you'd like everybody to come and visit our after-school programs, and if any of your listeners are interested in that, please email me. That's molly@ahasb.org, and I'd be happy to work with you. We do have our very favorite event coming up on May 9th, Saturday night, at the Libero Theater. That's Sing It Out, and I think we've mentioned that several times today. It is by far my favorite event of the year in Santa Barbara. And it's one of our after-school groups. We work with a group of our youth and two of our staff members. And they work with musicians, facilitators, vocal coaches over a 13-week period. And it culminates in the event at the Libero, where every participant gets up on stage and sings a rock and roll cover song backed by a full band in front of 600 audience members, and it is extraordinary. Both Melissa and Miguel have both participated, so they can speak to their experience, but I can say it is life-changing for participants and audience members.
Yeah, no, it's a great event, and I've been to every one, and I'm going to be there this year. So let me just say in the closing minutes, thank you so much for all you do, Molly, Melissa, and Miguel, and I'd like to thank AHA for all the support over all of the years. Thank you. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll see you next week with CSUCI Presents About Education.
It's 3.